We always end our Wednesday night prayer meeting with a little attention to the Word of the Lord, and I want to take just a few minutes to talk about a subject this evening that actually, as I look toward this evening, I couldn't get it off my mind, couldn't get it away from it, and that doesn't mean to imply that I tried to get away from it. You just, you know, we all, when we have a speaking opportunity, we try to know we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so I couldn't get away from this. So evidently somebody in our group tonight needs this, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. I'm going to take five words totally out of context and not going to give you any of the words around them. Not even going to tell you where it is. And then I'm going to put them back in context if I'm successful. And if not, this may be my last Wednesday night. So anyway, those five words are words spoken by the great Apostle Paul, and they are these words: I face daily the pressure. I face daily the pressure. Now, if we were to read, I'll go ahead and tell you that if we were to read the whole section of 2 Corinthians 11 from about verse 16 onward, you would find these words in the NIV version. But just stick with me and we'll try to clothe them in context as we go through tonight. These are the words of the Apostle Paul: I face daily the pressure. I just will tell you what I think we all already know, that neither the 20th century nor Western civilization has a monopoly on pressure, or what we commonly refer to rather generically as stress. Today you can go into any bookstore in this town and there will be row after row of books written on the topic of how to deal with stress, how to manage stress, how to rid yourself of stress. And the Apostle Paul had none of those. He had none of those materials around him. And in our scripture selection today, it's easy for us to see very, very clearly that he knew the realities of very intense pressure on his life. Now, I want to pause right here and insert something that I think is important. As a missionary, as all missionaries do, and especially in the line of work that I've been in for the last 20 years of essentially living here in Springfield and going back and forth to Africa, I fly a lot. This last calendar year, I flew an actual 175,000 miles. And doing that, you sit in a lot of airports. And you sit in a few airport lounges, because when you fly that much, sometimes they'll let you in those nice places. And you also meet a lot of people that are doing the very same thing you're doing. And when you go through an airport and you're in a room full of businessmen and business ladies, you really can't always look at these people and say, well, that man is a banker, and that man is a brain surgeon, and that man is a Wall Street financier. You can't really do that, but those really are the people that you're working with. And then there are other people that just live off the ground almost all the time, going from city to city. And so over the course of time, I've watched this, and you know, you do a lot of people watching when you travel and have long layovers, and I've watched it. And as I've watched it, I've discovered that it doesn't matter that I am a missionary, and that he may be the Wall Street banker, and he may be the world-renowned brain surgeon, and she may actually be a television weather person for some TV. It doesn't make any difference. As I watched, I discovered we are all sitting here doing the same thing. We're pursuing the work that is assigned to us. And everybody in the room, missionaries and pastors and evangelists and Bible school teachers and whoever else would be in that room, they're all doing the same thing. They're checking emails. They're on a phone conversation with somebody about this appointment or that appointment. Sometimes you'll hear that $500,000 contract being discussed. Sometimes you'll hear somebody letting somebody go from their job. You'll hear somebody talking about a competitor. But when you get right down to it, everybody in that room is doing the same thing, including me. I'm there talking to the office across the street, or I'm on the phone with some missionary somewhere making preparation for my next stop. We are all doing the same thing. We're pursuing the mundane issues of accomplishing the work that we have given ourselves to. I don't know whether it dawns on us that that's what happens at this church. 5 days a week. It would be wonderful for me to stand up here and tell you that the people who work in this facility, we spend most of the day on our knees in prayer and intercession before the Lord. But you know what? We don't. We spend most of the day answering the telephone and typing letters and going over invoices and dealing with budget items, those things that everybody in every pursuit of every vocation has to do. And the point I'm trying to make tonight is we might be prone to set Paul so much apart from ourselves that it's hard for us to relate to him in terms of our own lifestyle and what we are pursuing and what we're going through. And I want us to try to back off from that just a bit. And in saying that, I'm not diminishing the significance of my calling to the service of the Lord, nor the Apostle Paul's high calling to the work that God called him to do. I'm not trying to do that by what I'm saying. I'm just wanting to open a door where we can all relate to him. Whether the daily pressure that you face comes from running a household or leading a school classroom full of today's teenagers, or working in a medical facility with people's lives hanging in the balance, whatever it may be, we still need to hear these words: I face daily the pressure, and we need to see the model that the Apostle Paul gives us as to how he dealt with it. So Paul is going to come down and live right among us tonight and take a chair right here with us, so to speak. And he's going to talk to us about how he faced the pressures involved in his life pursuit. And we can relate, whatever our life pursuit is, we can relate to the solutions that he found for making it work for him. Now, let's look and find these words in a little better context, if you'd like. If you look at that longer scripture passage, I've listed verses 16 through 29 in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. And in that passage of scripture, Paul takes a lot of time to talk about who he is and what his daily living is like and what's going on in his life as he pursues the work that he feels like is appropriate for him. And if you start in about the last part of verse number 23, you would hear the Apostle Paul say all of this: I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. That's one of those folks in the airport that never gets to go home. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and I have been naked. And thank you, Paul. I'm just as uptight as I can be reading that stuff that he uses to describe his life. I don't know that anybody in this room would go that far and have a list that long. I can remember a few missionary personnel meetings that I've been in that when I came out, I felt like I had been lashed 40 times and beaten with rods and pelted with stones. So I can relate with that. And some of you have had that happen in office settings and in classroom settings or whoever you are. And it might even be in a family setting that things have gotten so bad that you can come out of a family gathering sometime feeling pretty beaten up. And that is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And then he goes on, it's not over there. Those are external things. I've been beaten. I've worked harder. I've been in prison. I've been flogged. I've been shipwrecked. And then he says in verse 28, besides everything else, and here's my text, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Then he goes on to define what that means. He says in verse 29, who is weak, implied, in the people under my charge, and I do not feel their weakness? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? Now, this is Paul's testimony about a life that he pretty much wraps up in these five words. Oh, I live under a pressure dome every day of my life. Now, let's dissect this just a little bit for a few moments. You look at all of these complaints, and you got to ask yourself, well, Paul, how did all of this come about? Where did all of this come from? What is the source of all of these complications that you've just defined for us? Well, if you look through them and take the time to analyze them a bit, you will conclude very quickly that some of them are just the work of the enemy. They're the work of the enemy of our soul to foil Paul and to distress him and to discourage him and to dissuade him and to turn him aside. And do you know you can experience that in any work setting? You can experience that in an office setting, in a classroom setting, in an institutional setting, in a health facility setting, in a family setting, in a marriage setting. You can live with so many complications, and the enemy will do everything he can to throw everything he can our way to distress us and to discourage us and to dismay us. I won't call it fun. It isn't fun, but it is intriguing. I have a son, as most of you know, who is a school superintendent in this area. And so naturally, Deborah and I pay a lot of attention to the Missouri news when a news item comes on that talks about the school districts are going to lose their funding. Because quite honestly, we see a son who is committed to his work and says to me that there is no single element of my job any bigger than trying to make a budget match decreasing and diminishing funding for our school system. I face daily the pressure, is essentially what Jeremy says about that. Had a call from my son in Indonesia. Sometimes pressure is funny and sometimes pressure isn't. And he called me from Indonesia. He says, Dad, I just called you to ask you to pray for me. He says, I don't know if I was in a drunken stupor or what. He said, but the ambassador needed somebody to go to this other city and give a presentation before a medical college on the United States medical community and how our medical system works. And before I knew what I was doing, I volunteered to go do it. He says, I don't know anything about medicine. If they ask me a question, I won't have an answer one. Would you pray? Well, I face daily the pressure. Even if it comes from that drunken stupor, and there was no alcohol in that drunken stupor, but sometimes we do get ourselves in some messes, which is to say that the source of our calamity is not always the enemy. Sometimes the source of our calamity comes from our own choices. And I would dare say that the characters of God's word are human enough and man and woman enough that they probably experience the same life tendencies that you and I do. And Paul could probably look at himself sometimes and realize, by the choices I made and the words I chose, I may have exacerbated that experience somewhat. Sometimes these things come to us in the form of the opposition, or we may just call them the ethereal other out there. We don't put a name on them. We just don't feel like everybody's working together with us. We don't feel like everybody's pulling together with us. We don't think our spouse is pulling their half of the load. We don't think our kids are living in the family in unity. I don't seem to be getting through to my students. I don't seem to be getting through to the staff that I have to supervise. And some way or another, we're putting a little sense of cause out there that others are creating some of this stuff for us. And to be quite frankly with you, sometimes we can put God in the crosshairs and conclude that some of it may be God's fault. He doesn't understand. What are you doing? I don't know if you've ever asked God, do you really know what you're doing? I've done that a couple of times, and amazingly, he didn't strike me dead. And hadn't been that long ago, in fact, and I'm still here. So we look at these circumstances that bring us to a point that we cry out and say, I face daily all of this pressure, and we're finding causes for it. It may be the enemy of our soul, rightfully so. It may be the opposition or others that don't understand us. It may be myself. I'm bringing these things on myself. And sometimes we may earnestly feel like God has a hand in it. But we put this list together, and we've got to find causes for all of us. And Paul seems to define these things in two or three different ways that I've put down as a list. He talks about all of these external issues, and it is implied by just the patterns of human life that some of the issues that surround us and some of the issues that bring us to a point of saying, I live daily with the pressure, some of them are in our control and some of them are beyond our control. And sometimes the ones in our control, we lack the knowledge or the insight to know what to do about them, and those that are beyond our control, we feel totally helpless about them. Secondly, I think we see in this exposition that Paul gives us here, I think we see that part of this pressure that he lives under was not just the external pressure, but part of it was the pressure that came from just being Paul. There's a certain amount of pressure in my life that comes from just being me. There's a certain amount of pressure in your life that comes from just being you. And there's a certain amount of pressure in Paul's life that came from just being Paul. He tells us about one of them. He says, I face daily the pressure. And then he goes on to enlarge that to mean, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And what Paul actually is saying there is, I face daily the pressure of having to respond to my work the way I have to respond to my work. I have to do it in the way that I think is right. I have to expend to the level that I think is appropriate. I have to involve myself to the level that I think is appropriate. Two little anecdotal examples of what I'm trying to say here. I grew up with a pastor that was so deeply involved with his congregation. Two of the stories that went around our congregation for years was how Brother Sam Nichols was on his own bed suffering from a extremely severe heart attack, and it looked like life was over, and our pastor got so deeply involved in praying for him in that emergency that he literally crawled up on that bed and was straddling Sam Nichols, praying that God would heal him and deliver him and save him. He was known for getting up in the middle of the night and going across town and stopping in front of the house of a particular individual in our congregation that was in repeatedly returning to the enslavement of alcoholic drink. And pastor would go and sit in front of that house in the dark hours of the night and plead the blood of Jesus for that life. He would be one that would say, I face daily the pressure of having to respond to the congregation that God gave me in the way that I feel like I have to do it. And we've all been there, those of us that are in ministry. And many of us in lay positions, we're the same way. We've got to do our job in a way that will tell us we're doing it right, and we're doing it adequately, and we're doing it well. Now, some of us get, to be honest with you, some of us get a bit obsessive about that, and we need a little help in recognizing sometimes that we are human, not superhuman. We do have a family that doesn't need to be abandoned. We do have children that need to know us. We do need to lock the door to the office when everybody else goes home and go home too, and not take the office home with us every night. We don't need to take the classroom home with us every night. We don't need to take every medical case home with us and wonder if they're going to be there the next morning if we want to be responsible in these other areas of our life. But it's a whole lot easier to talk about that than it is to do it sometimes. I remember one time some years ago, our office staff had a retreat, and we invited Joellen Nicholson to come and talk to us, and I said, "I need you to talk to us about stress. I've heard that you do some good teaching on the issue of stress, and so would you talk to us about stress?" And she did. She talked to us that day, and I'll never forget what she talked to us about. Can't tell you that I listened to her very well and put all of it in practice, but I do remember what it was she said. She said, "You've got to think about all the activity in your life, and you think about it as open circles. And as long as you don't finish that task, that circle is open. And you start another task, and until it's finished, that circle is open. And some of you have more open circles on your table than you know what to do with. You've got to start closing those circles. If you'll just work on, you remember that, Joellen? You've just got to close those circles one at a time." Well, she was talking to a guy. I love doing 8 things at the same time. I'll read 3 books at the same time. I'm working on our bedroom right now, and I'll paint for a while, and then I'll go do electrical work for a while, and then I'll go trim something for a while, and then I'll go do some plumbing work for a while. And I just love to bounce about things like that, and so I tend to have a gazillion circles over, and she just told me that's why you're the way you are. That's why you flinch so much in the dark at night and can't sleep. But there is truth here. Paul was being Paul. He was responding to his tasks the way that he had to respond to them, and sometimes that's helpful and sometimes it isn't. And every one of us need to understand that balance is godly. Balance is scriptural and balance is good. And then sometimes it is an issue of responding to everybody else's pressure. And Paul said that. He said that in so many words. He said, "Who in my realm of responsibility is weak, that I do not feel their weakness? Who in my realm of responsibility has been led into sin that I don't inwardly hurt because of what they're going through?" And so because of all of this, Paul is trying to define that phrase, "I live daily with the pressure." But now let's go on. It goes to a question of Paul's work lifestyle, which he reveals again and again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, he wrote to one of his missionary congregations, and he said these words to them, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our very lives as well." That's carrying everyone else's pressure and feeling it. How much do we invest? How much is enough? How much is right? How much is too much? Finding the logical balance, that is a huge issue. And then there's always those moments when nothing counts. Somebody calls and you got to go. A crisis arrives in the classroom and you've got to do it. Somebody's in the hospital dying, you've got to be there. We all know those things. I face daily the pressure. Well, how did Paul do it? How did he resolve it? How did he live with the presence of all that opposition? How did he carry his own load and all the other load that was thrown on him as well? Well, it's very clear. It comes in the words of another verse he wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, that says this, "To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." I don't know if you see the message there, so let's delete some of these words. What this verse is saying is, I labor with his energy. Friends, that's a deal you can never beat. I labor with his energy. And I don't care where you are, whether you're a plumber and you've come face to face with a plumbing problem you've never faced before and it's driving you nuts, you can take that to God and leave it with Him, and you do your work in the energy and, I might add, the wisdom that He gives you to make it happen. You may be in the worst classroom situation, the worst institutional situation, the worst difficulty you have ever been in. How do you get through it? I labor, but I do it with His energy. In fact, Paul is so good at this, I think we need to give him the last word. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But He, Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." Has he lost his mind? No, he explains why he can say that. "For when I am weak in human strength, then I am postured to be made strong in divine strength. I labor with His energy." Now, I don't know. We don't ever know. I don't know if the Lord brought somebody into this room tonight that you really are at a stress point that is not altogether common in something you face. I don't know. But if you're here tonight, the Lord directed us just for you. I don't know, but maybe what this is just a general exhortation the Lord is giving for all of us as a faith family for this new year. There is enough going on in our life that we need to learn in this hectic day in which we live. We need to learn how to labor, work hard, go at it with all we've got, but count on His energy to make it happen in our lives. Have you found that He'll provide whenever you put yourself in that position to make that happen? Does this resonate with any of you tonight, or have I missed it at all? I labor, but I do it with His energy. Lord, help us to learn that skill and this wise counsel that Paul gives us.